Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Howdy there, folks. It's a downright pleasure to be hosting you here this evening. Now, like I do every week, I've put together quite a package for this evening. Stories that run the gamut of paranormal subjects. So prepare yourselves any way you know how as we work our way through tonight's list. Beginning with this puzzling entry from Helen in the state of Arkansas.
Hi, Derek. This is Helen from Arkansas. I had a strange thing happen to me a couple weeks ago. I lost my dog, LB, on July 2nd. He was a large, about 150-pound Rottweiler who had developed cancer, started to hurt, and he was a wonderful dog. So I made the decision to go ahead and have him put down before he hurt too bad. I went to the vet, and one of my friends came to be with me during the euthanasia, and we were able to be with him. So as we were leaving, I got his leash, and I took his collar off to take it home with me. And we walked out to the car, and I put the leash and the collar in the back of the car. And I went on home. A couple days later, I went out to pick up the leash and collar and bring them back inside. Well, the leash was there, but I could not find the collar. And I mean, I tore the car up looking everywhere for it. You know, I thought perhaps it had fallen out of the car, you know, looked on the floor of the garage, didn't see it. Asked my friend who'd been with me, you know, what do you remember? And she says, you put the leash and the collar together in the back of the car. So I just thought, well, I guess I've lost it. So that was around July 4th. So we went to 1st of August. And I was at work getting ready to go home, and I was talking to my coworkers, and I thought, well, I better check my purse and make sure everything I need is in there. And when I opened my purse, the collar was laying right there on top of everything in my purse. Now, I know the collar wasn't there because the purse was a very open purse. When you looked in there, you could see everything that was in there. So it wasn't there. And all of a sudden it was there. And I was kind of stunned. And so I went and asked one of my coworkers who'd been at my house if they had perhaps picked up the collar and put it in my purse. And they said no. And I had been listening to the show and I heard someone else mention how objects can sometimes be moved. I guess it's generally considered a strange thing, but the collar was there. I was very shocked, and I really do believe it may have been a message from my husband who's passed, and that was his dog as well. Perhaps that was just a way for them to let me know that they were okay and still there. I do love the show. I enjoy it immensely. And thank you for all the hard work you guys do.
Thank you, Ellen. And our condolences as well. That's such a terrible process. The end of a pet's life. Our hearts certainly go out to you, Ellen. Now, you might not believe this, but I've actually had a similar experience. Years ago, a big fluffy gray and white cat started coming by the house. I named him Jarvis. I have no idea why, he just seemed like a Jarv. Well, he was pretty wild, but after a couple of weeks, I was able to tame him. And he was more than happy to let us handle him, care for him, feed him. And eventually, we were able to get him neutered. I also convinced him to let me put a small red collar on him. I'd heard about people in the area planning on trapping strays, so I wanted to make it at least appear like he belonged to someone, because he certainly did not. Anyway, one day he showed up without the collar, but it was a breakaway collar, so I assumed he just got it caught on something, or that someone else in the neighborhood managed to take it off of him. And fast forward to a few months later, Jarvis was tragically killed by a mountain lion right out on our front deck. Now, we were understandably devastated. We'd seen lions on our deck before, and we'd taken many precautions, but the results were the same. Now, as sad as all that was, a few weeks or a few months after we lost Jarv, his collar miraculously showed up, right there on the deck in front of my basement door, the door from which we used to feed Jarvis in happier days. Now, the collar was worn. It still had his fur on it, and it was most certainly the exact same collar. Now, how it ended up there, I have no idea. We don't live in the sort of place where someone could just walk up to our front door undetected. Yet that's exactly what it seems like happened. The only logical thing that I can think is that Jarv lost the collar under our deck or something. After all, he did hang out down there a lot. And maybe one of these new strays in the area found it and brought it up to our deck for whatever reason. But there's still part of me that likes to think that Jarvis was swinging by to say hello. No, I still have that collar, by the way, and I'll try to post a picture in tonight's show notes. Not to steal your thunder, Ellen, but it seems like you're not the only one with that sort of experience. Though I will say your experience was much less explainable than was mine. Thank you again for making the phone call. Now, folks, I have tons more right after these quick messages from tonight's sponsors.
Buy one, get one half off.
Thanks for taking time to weigh in.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Social Casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Now, next up is an interesting entry out of the Rocky Mountain state of Colorado. Please welcome Morgan to the program.
Hi, Derek. My name is Morgan. I'm a first-time caller, and I was really excited for this sighting so that I could give you a call. I'm from Colorado, but I saw this May 2nd, 2024 in California. I was at Harbin Hot Springs. I had arrived with three friends earlier in the day around 6 p.m. And it's important to note for the story that we were all sober. We had no drugs or alcohol in our systems. We had finished soaking, and Harbin Hot Springs has a set of cabins. It's tucked into a little valley, and it's a beautiful hot spring. And the cabins were kind of up towards the top of this little nook, this little valley. And our cabin had a porch on the back of it that faced south. And I could tell because the sun had set to the right of us, and the sun came up, obviously, to the left of us that next day. So we are sitting out on the back porch, and we took note of the time. It was 9:07. We were all sitting there. We all saw this. And traveling from west to east over the top of this area, we saw what looked like a dandelion puff of light. It looked like the pinpoints of light were being seen through fog, the way that water or fog kind of refracts light. But it was a perfectly clear night. There were no clouds in the sky. We estimated it to be maybe 300 to 500 feet up. And the way that we could kind of tell this is as it kind of moved past us over the course of a couple of minutes, it seemed like we could see it from different angles and maybe see a little more dimensionality than you'd be able to see from something that's really, really high up in the sky. The light traveled pretty slowly, and it was really windy and very gusty. So it felt like if it had been a balloon or something like that, it would have been moving around a lot. Even a drone would have been pushed potentially off course. This maybe gave a couple of tiny wiggles, but it wasn't moving with the wind. And it was also silent. All three of us identified it as it moved towards our left to the east. We could kind of see it looked like almost butterfly wings, the way that the lights were coming off of it. And it looked like there was a tail of lights that had more solidity to them, like they were short. So it looked like a dandelion with a stem almost, but it was of light. And it traveled till it was kind of small, but it didn't wink out. It like got really tiny. So it's like it had traveled maybe to the bottom of the valley, and then all of a sudden it was very small, like it almost blinked out. But we could still see it for another minute or so, but it was just this tiny little light. That's all that we were able to see, and I hope that there's a different explanation, but it was really interesting, and I was really excited to get to see a UFO. Thanks for everything you and your team do. Have a great night.
Thank you for calling in, Morgan. Well, I can tell you that there was a Falcon 9 rocket launched on May 2nd, 2024, out of Vandenberg Air Force Base, a launch that would be 100% visible from Harbin Hot Springs, which is about an hour north of Santa Rosa, if you're looking on a map. So you would think that would explain it. Just another rocket launch over the skies of California. But it's worth pointing out that the rocket was launched nearly 10 hours before Morgan and her friends witnessed the craft, According to records, the official launch time was 11:36 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So did the trail of the rocket linger around for 9-plus hours? Or were these two separate, unrelated events? It certainly sounds like Morgan is convinced. And we thank her again for leaving us with this mystery. Now, folks, if you too have a story you would like me to share here on the show, give our hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story as a voice memo and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, true stories only. One story per call. Call back if you need more time to finish. Only call a story in once. And of course, call from a quiet place. Oh, and if you have a youngster in the house, why not introduce them to Monsters Among Us Junior, our sister program that drops every other Wednesday. Our sister show that shares stories of the paranormal by kids and for kids. And if they have a story they would like to share, call the hotline at 833-MAU-KIDS or shoot us an email at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now let's dive right back into the action, this time with a story from Ariel, out of the Hoosier State of Indiana.
This is a story that is for guardian angels and real monsters that exist among us that are human. I'm calling from the state of Indiana, and this took place in Saratoga Springs, New York, probably in 1994. I was 9 years old, and it wasn't until I was an adult did I realize that I had been kidnapped. For those of you who are familiar with human trafficking, it's very sneaky. I was 9 and we were at a park with my mom and my 2 siblings. They were older than me. And a gentleman came up to me at the park and asked if I wanted to be in a book that he was writing, a children's book. And at the park, I was feeding ducks. And conveniently, his book that he was writing was about a little girl feeding ducks. My mom at the time was a writer, and so I immediately felt very privileged and excited that I'd get to be a part of a book. So I left the park with this gentleman, and another gentleman joined us after we left the park, and we crossed the street, and we were in a parking lot. And probably just moments before I was going to get into their vehicle, my older brother grabbed my arm and was like, "Ariel, Mom's been looking for you. You know, where did you go? We're waiting in the car for you." And I was kind of disappointed that I wasn't going to get to be a part of this book. And I turned around to say goodbye to my new friends. But they just continued walking. I had no idea at the time what was happening. So I followed my brother. How he found me is really a miracle. And so I followed my brother back to my mom in the car with my sister. And when I got to the car, this yellow glow completely surrounded me. It was all I could see. It was like a golden yellow glow. And I just stopped and I felt a presence completely embraced me in a hug. And it was the most amazing feeling I had ever felt. And I remember just standing there in this pure golden yellow light, feeling these arms just holding me and feeling so amazing. It was an incredible feeling. And I was standing there for a while and I realized, oh, I better get in the car. And so I kind of just turned and the car was there. And of course, my mom and my siblings were waiting in the car for me and I got in. I was probably 17 or 18 years old when maybe I'd started learning about human trafficking or something, and it dawned on me that that day in the park, I had been, I consider it, I was taken. I mean, I was taken from the location across the street to another parking lot with these two men. But at the time, yeah, I had no idea. And so I consider that a guardian angel story. I absolutely believe that I was being hugged by my guardian angel, and I absolutely believe that somehow the guardian angel was able to help my brother find me that day before it was absolutely too late. So I really believe that we have guardian angels or some kind of entity that watches over us. And I tell my children about their guardian angels too. So that is my story. Thanks, Derek.
Truly spooky stuff, Ariel. Thank you for the entry. Incredible. And further proof of my claim that the living are far more dangerous than the dead. Words I will always stand by. Now, as for that golden glow the perceived guardian angel had, whatever it all was, we're thankful that it was there, Ariel. And we can't thank you enough for sharing your experience.
Bad. They should even be called a second.
I think other people should be.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Guys are literally hitting the guys like in the face, and they can't seem to catch it.
All right, gang. It's time for a monster story. We can never have enough of those, if you ask me. So from parts unknown, please welcome Anonymous to the program.
Hey, Derek. This story takes place in northwest Arkansas on the border of Arkansas and Oklahoma in the Weddington part of the Ozark National Forest where Lake Weddington and the Illinois River meet. One night I was stopped along a national park road there, the only place I could get a signal so I could answer some emails. And in doing so, I had just sat there for about 45 minutes with my headlights turned off and the running lights on to the vehicle, creating just about a 100-foot pool of light in front of me. And I was going through my emails and I noticed in front of me what looked like two red lights, like you would see on the back of a fishing trailer to a small flat-bottom fishing boat, kind of a small trailer. And they were right along the ground, right along the road, right in front of me, just outside of this circle of light, about 100 feet. And as soon as I noticed them, they did this kind of wavy motion that made me think it was a person's head. But they were so far apart, there's no way it could have been someone's head. As soon as I looked at it, it began to back away and rise up. So if you could imagine someone was laying on their belly, crawling towards the headlights, and then once they saw me recognize them, they began to back away and sort of stand up. And these red two red dim circles that, you know, looked like kind of reflectors that you would put on a fence post or a mailbox, about as far apart as a small boat trailer. They kept rising up as they went backward until they were probably 10 feet off the ground. They were so high, they looked like they were part of a tractor trailer. And I was transfixed by it. I didn't know what I was seeing. I kept thinking, I'm about to see something. Something is about to come right into the light. I'm about to see something. And I never did. I sat there for about a minute, like in a daze, literally not knowing, you know, what I had seen. I turned on my headlights after about a minute and drove away. I didn't have the presence of mind to look for any footprints or anything, and I didn't go back through there for months. It didn't necessarily scare me, but the fact that it put me in kind of a daze where I wasn't able to make a decision, I remember thinking, what am I seeing? I'm about to see something, and should I lock the doors? At the same time thinking, this thing is so big that it really wouldn't matter if I locked the doors. So I don't know what I saw, if it was a Sasquatch or it seemed like something kind of a scale slightly larger than that. You know, it was pretty big. Anyway, that's my story. Love the show. Hope you can use it. Thanks.
Thank you, caller. A creature so big, it wouldn't have mattered if you locked the door. That thought will make your skin crawl. Now, I know our caller mentioned that this might not have been a Bigfoot due to the size. Well, I'm not sure Sasquatch has a size limit. I've seen reports that claim it to be 10, 12, and even 15 feet tall, and weighing upwards of 800 to 1,000 pounds. Those claims are rare, but they are made. And wouldn't you know that Arkansas is a bit of a Bigfoot hotspot? The creature down at Boggy Creek should ring a few bells, as should the Falk Monster. But the northern portions of Arkansas seem to be a highly active area, so it should come as no surprise, perhaps, that something unusual was experienced there. After all, in 1851, a large hair-covered creature stalked a group of hunters in the area of Greene County after they observed the creature trying to carry off a newborn calf. And a few years later, in 1856, several men were pursuing a hairy wild man on horseback when it suddenly turned tail and attacked them. And if the claims of author Otto Rayburn were to be believed, a giant wild man was captured in the Washita Mountains near Saline County. And in 1977, a man named Ed Bailey reported that a creature broke into his milk house in Dutch Mills, leaving behind claw marks and tracks. That sighting and a few others in the area were recorded in local newspaper articles. And I have one of those clippings here for you tonight. The following summarized article was originally featured in the Northwest Arkansas Times on August 12, 1977. Now, although the following story takes place in the state of Oklahoma, it's right there on the state line. And as the crow flies, not a great distance at all. The Adair County Monster appears to be the very best tradition of the breed, complete with red eyes that glow in the dark, claws, and long, shaggy hair. It preys on goats and calves and has, it is reported, attacked a 15-year-old boy. The Adair County Sheriff's Office has been receiving reports for some time about missing calves, and the Associated Press mentions partially slaughtered goats in an area near the Arkansas line. Now, the creature is reported to have attacked Brian Jones, 15, clawing and scratching him. Young Jones told sheriff deputies that the creature grabbed him, clawing and biting, but threw him to the ground when some of his friends appeared. He bore claw marks on his back in proof. Now, that full article can, of course, be found in tonight's show notes. And I can't help but notice that we're hearing a lot of the same details. Hunting, stalking, the taking of farm animals, the attacks on humans, and a awfully similar description as well. Big, tall, hairy, and scary, with at least one account also detailing the unusually reflective eyes. Now, that's a lot of activity for a state of that size. But would you believe me if I told you it didn't end there? And nor do the similarities. In the winter of 2012, a young hunter chasing a downed duck deep in the Shirey Bay Rainy Break WMA found himself face to face with something massive moving through the flooded timber. From just 30 yards, he watched a 9-foot figure glide through the water with ease no human could match. After a tense half-minute standoff, the creature turned and vanished, leaving the witness shaken and sprinting back to his father. Only later did he learn a cousin had cast a large footprint in the same area the day before, a discovery local officials allegedly warned him to keep quiet about. Now, that full report can be found on the BFRO website or by visiting our show notes at monstersamonguspodcast.com. Now, it's not lost on me how similar these reports are and how consistent they seem to be from 1851 all the way up to present day. So I guess if you find yourself in that area, especially out there in the woods and the bayous, keep your eyes peeled and be sure to report on anything that might cross your path. And please, mind your farm animals. Thank you again, caller, for sharing the story. Now, folks, with the holidays fast approaching, many of us are left scrambling for gift ideas. Well, if you know someone that loves the show, why not consider getting them some Monsters Among Us merch? There are many items to choose from, ranging from hats and shirts to stickers, pins, and patches. Something for everyone and something for every budget. So visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click that shop tab. And remember, all proceeds go directly back to the show. So you're really killing two birds with one stone. Now our next entry takes us to Wisconsin. Please welcome Danny to the program.
Hi, Derek. So this is Danny. I live in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. What happened to me was from when I lived in Miami, but I thought I would mention that I live here because I know that there was a call from 2024 that, you know, was based in Eau Claire here. I lived in Miami for like 2 years, and this was during the pandemic. You know, I actually moved there like 3 months before the pandemic and then, you know, spent my time there. You know, I guess for more context, I lived in a tall apartment complex. My apartment was on like the 17th floor. So anyways, there was one just completely random night. Random day, random night during the week. And this was in the middle of the night, so I was sleeping. I was in a dead sleep. And I suddenly woke up in the middle of the night. Like, woke up from a dead sleep, automatically feeling this like sense of fear and this sense of anxiety that felt very real to me in that moment, that I was having anxiety over the fact that I thought the building was going to collapse. I was like, the building's going to collapse. I'm freaking out, which makes no sense. You know, at least to when I woke up just, you know, randomly, this is something that's never happened to me before. And it, you know, hasn't happened before then, and it hasn't happened since. It was just really, really odd. And so I was really worked up, and I was at the point where I was like, I'm going to wake up my boyfriend that I had at the time, or I'm just going to get up and I'm going to go down to the lobby. I don't know, just feeling extremely uncomfortable. And, you know, I ended up talking myself down. I was like, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just overreacting. And, you know, this makes no sense for me to wake up and feel this. So I ended up, you know, getting back to sleep, and the night continued on as usual. And then the next morning, all over the news was this video that they had that a building near Miami Beach had collapsed, just completely collapsed in the middle of the night due to, I don't know, structural issues. There were structural issues and half of the whole building collapsed. And that to me, I was like, what the heck? Like, I literally woke up during the night around the time that that happened with this extreme anxiety that the building was going to collapse. This to me just doesn't really make that much sense. Or I can't make sense of what happened to me in that moment. And I went back and I was looking at the time because I know that when I woke up that night, it was like around 1 a.m. I know this because I had checked the time because I was like, should I go downstairs or down in the lobby or should I? And so I checked the time. It was around like 1 a.m. And then when looking at the video of this building collapsing and the time that it collapsed was like around like 1:20-ish in the morning. I don't know exactly. But yeah, that just felt very weird to me. And it kind of is something that sticks with me a lot as like this really weird situation that I had. I don't really know, you know, if that was a premonition or a residual, I don't know, energy, whatever. I'm not totally sure. So maybe, you know, you can give me some insight on that or, you know, let me know what you think. I really love the show. Thank you so much. And hopefully talk soon. Bye.
Thank you, Danny. I bet she's talking about the Moose Lady. If you know, you know. And if you don't know, well, you're missing out. But let's pivot to Danny's story. A premonition about a potential disaster. A warning, but per usual, a warning that didn't include enough detail to be useful. A theme that's revisited often by late author and king of high strangeness, John Keel. You should read or watch The Mothman Prophecies for a perfect example. And that's certainly the frustrating part about these strange premonitions. And I bet Danny here can attest, what good is the info if it can't be interpreted? Now maybe there is a missing element here. Perhaps the info received is only half of the puzzle. Now, who has the other half? Your guess is as good as mine. But those are my ramblings on the subject. And thank you again, Danny, for calling in. Now I'm going to work in one more call before we have to take our next scheduled break. I think I have the time. So from parts unknown, please welcome Dawn to the program.
Hi, Derek and Monsters Among Us family and friends. My name is Dawn. Supernatural, no phenomenon. It followed me and my one friend, like, amplify each other. So we went to go ghost hunting at a cemetery which was up in Wisconsin. We'd been there a couple times. The one time, our friend Paul actually had his name called, which we picked up as an EVP. But I think it was like a third time we had gone up there. It was just me, Carol, and we were getting out of the car. As soon as I got out of the car, I smelled burning flesh. That's the only way I can say it. And I started panicking a little bit, and I'm like, do you smell that? Asking them, and I'm like, you don't smell that? No, get in the car. So we got back in the car and we're going. When we stopped, I'm like, oh my God, it smelled like burnt flesh. It was so bad. But yeah, me and Carol, like, if there's a ghost to be had somewhere, if we go or any kind of like loop or anything, we will find it. I don't know why. Thank you for everything you do, for allowing people to talk and tell their strange stories that are, you know, their experiences. And thank you very much because you have made being on dialysis so much better because I listen to you guys all the time while I'm there. Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn, for calling in. And best of luck with your dialysis. I'm glad we can keep you company. Now the sickly scent of burning flesh, in an open-air cemetery no less. That has to be supernatural, right? What else could possibly explain such an experience? Well, strange and offending odors were reported from a graveyard in Pritchett, Alabama. WMPI NBC News 15 out of Mobile has that report.
And the smell is breathtaking. There is no way to describe the odor that investigators say is seeping out of this grave. They say it's another gut-wrenching discovery.
It's frankly disgusting that a person would do this, to family members who are grieving. Burying their loved ones.
These pictures show two graves at Heritage Memorial Garden Cemetery sinking in the ground. They've now been filled with gravel. What these pictures don't show is the strong smell coming from the vaults.
There is a very strong odor. It's very distinct, and I've smelled, over 30 years of law enforcement. It's human decomposition. There's just no other smell like it, and that's clearly, what we're smelling out here today.
So Don, it could be as simple as that. Although as morbid as it is to think about, there's a big difference between rotting human flesh and burnt human flesh. But thankfully, I haven't had the misfortune of experiencing either. So maybe I'm way off here. Perhaps there was something paranormal afoot. The ghost of a burn victim buried there in the cemetery. A nearby wreck in which occupants were burned alive. Or any other number of scenarios that could lead to a haunting that manifests as the scent of burning flesh. Gnarly, to say the least. And we can't thank you enough, Dawn, for taking the time to share this highly unusual encounter.
Be afraid to be scared.
I don't know what the plan is.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cashback is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cashback. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Or what they're trying to do?
It has been released now.
Now, down the home stretch, so to speak. And that's where things really tend to get spooky. And here with a real eerie one is Keith from the state of Virginia.
Hi, Derek. This is Keith from Northern Virginia. I was listening to season 8 the other day. You had an episode where you ended up telling a story after a caller called in where the girl ends up leaving her hand over the side of the bed, and it got me to thinking of something that happened to me in college back in, had to be like 95, 96. I actually went to college in southeastern Ohio at Ohio University, so kind of maybe in the backyard. I'm thinking of where you grew up, and that school was surrounded by national parks. And one time we decided to all go out. It was like a holiday weekend and school was kind of empty. And so we all decided to go out camping. And when we went hiking, we had actually followed this trail into the woods pretty far back, about an hour. And then we went off trail and just kind of took a compass and went in the middle of nowhere, really, for about another 45 minutes to an hour to where we found this, like, plateau. I kind of sat up about probably 10, 12 feet, and you could kind of see off into the rest of the forest. It was all just trees and foliage and stuff, but we decided to camp there, and there was probably about 3 or 4 couples and me, and unfortunately everyone had a tent to sleep in by the end of the night, and I didn't bring anything, so I was just kind of sleeping on the ground. And at some point, you know, everyone kind of goes to bed. I'm laying out there by myself, and all of a sudden the tent unzips and my buddy comes out, and he's completely pissed off. I think he got into a fight with his girlfriend, found out she had hooked up with another dude or whatever made you so mad in college, that he's just completely pissed off and just starts walking in the woods like he's gonna walk home. You know what I mean? He had been drinking rum and he was half drunk, and I'm trying to make sense with him, and he just starts walking off into the woods, and we're getting further and further. He's talking about getting a cab home, and I'm like, dude, we're in the middle of a national forest, you're not gonna get a cab. But meanwhile, he's just not turning around. He's walking in a straight line. And I keep on looking over my shoulder, and we have one flashlight with us, but slowly the campfire's getting smaller and smaller, and to the point we had walked so far away from the campfire you couldn't even see it anymore, because we had kind of gone down off the plateau, so you couldn't even really see it anymore. And I just knew it was like in the direction of directly behind where we were walking, because we were walking in a straight line. And all of a sudden, as we're walking, you start hearing, we kind of walk, and I'd grab him, we'd stop, and we'd talk a little bit, and then we'd walk, I'd grab him, try to make sense with him. And I started hearing, when we'd stop to talk, you'd hear like a and, you know, almost like leaves rustling, and it would stop. And so we did that 2 more times, and the third time we did it, you could hear like 3 footsteps right when we stopped. And I looked down, I'm like, did you hear that? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, somebody's walking out in the woods with us. We started walking again, but then we turned around with the flashlight real quick. And it was this guy dressed in like a Davy Crockett, like the deerskin leather with strings hanging off. I don't know how to describe it, you know, off the sleeves. And he had like dirty blonde wiry hair. And he kind of darted behind a tree. And we're kind of like, holy shit, somebody's out here with us. So we turned off the light, and we just sat there for what felt like forever. And like, no one moved, no one said anything. And then you just started hearing the ch-ch-ch, and it started coming towards us. So we took off, and we ran as fast as we can. We didn't turn on the flashlight, and we just ran back the way we came. And we were tripping over logs and getting whipped in the face with branches. And we got back to the campfire and started kind of getting everyone up, and everyone came out of their tents. And we've got like cuts all over our shins because we were in shorts, and all over our arms and face. No one believed that, you know, somebody was out there with us. We were so far away from, you know, where you parked your car or where anybody would have camped. You know, they were like, it's a deer or something else. And we're like, it wasn't a deer, it was a guy. And I automatically just assumed, like, maybe it was something, you know, that had to do with supernatural. Maybe there was a ghost. The way he was dressed reminded me of, you know, like a pioneer or something like that. So I did all this searching to see if there was anything or anyone had ever reported anything like that from that area. And I never found anything. And it was, you know, maybe 2 years later where it started sinking in that I think it was a dude. I mean, it was a guy out there, like in the middle of the woods, just following us around. It was weird. And the more I think about it, the more I think that's creepier than if it was a ghost or something like that. You know, I grew up camping and with my family, and then my brother, and I used to go to Red River Gorge and spend like an entire week down there just camping. And now, like, when I go camping, I want to stay in like a formal like campsite, and I've got, like, you know, an arsenal that I bring along with me, because it just scared the hell out of me to think that, you know, I'm out there that night trying to sleep through the rest of that night was crazy. You know, everyone, when it was all said and done, went back to their tents and went to bed, including my buddy who was so mad at his girlfriend. But, you know, I think this scared the crap out of him, so he went back to bed with her. And I just had to sit out there by myself with, like, every crack in the woods, every snap of a twig had me like turning and probably one of the worst nights that I kind of spent. I got everyone up at about 5:36 when the sun started coming up, and we kind of hauled ass out of there. But thanks so much. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Keith. You're pretty close. I grew up less than 50 miles from Athens, as the crow flies. So you certainly have the right area. And as a result of having grown up in Southeast Ohio, I know a bit about the history of the area. Enough to know that a man matching that description once spent time in that part of the state. Daniel Boone. He was held hostage by the Shawnee in 1778. Probably near the very area that Keith was camping in. Just outside present-day Chillicothe. And I imagine many frontiersmen of that time and location wore similar clothing. Buckskins with fringe. Those long fringe pieces actually serve a purpose, believe it or not. They help wick away moisture, allowing the skins to dry faster. Now, I know Keith said he wasn't sure this was a ghost, and I'm inclined to believe him, but it never hurts to keep our options open. So what do you think here, loyal listeners? A ghost? Some dude cosplaying in the woods? A time slip? Or a genuine feral human? Still surviving on the fringes of society? Whoever it was, I'm glad it was Keith that ran into him and not me. So thank you again, Keith, for sharing. And here we are, everyone. Our final entry of the evening. And this one is quite the tale. From the state of Maryland, please welcome Joe to the program.
Hey, Derek, this is Joe from Maryland. This happened a good 10, 15 years ago. I was living in Kansas at the time, but took a trip to Maryland to see my friends, and we did a trip to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. At the time, we went to the Farnsworth house and did an adult tour around 11 o'clock at night. This was an October crisp evening. I remember it well. We went behind the newer Gettysburg High School, which where they found mass graves of Confederate Northern soldiers that were buried, but yet moved the bodies, built the school. So we're back there. This is about 11:30, 11:45 at night. So we're like, hey, cool. You know, our tour guide was awesome. He was going back there. We were walking this path. But my gut feeling was telling me something wasn't right. You know, I've been to Gettysburg several times, and I've always had that feeling, but not like this. So we're getting near Culp's Hill, the big hill that the Northerners took before the Confederates. This guy's telling us a story about it, and we see this rustling by this bush. We're like, what is going on there? I'm like, ha-ha, funny trick, you know. You guys are pulling one on us. Poor guy looks at me and said, no, we ain't pulling nothing on you. This little girl gets out near the bush, and she's got a like ripped up dress. Looks like, I would say, the late 1800s, early 1900s dress. She had black hair, very proper looking, with old school bun in her hair. And she walks up to us, and the guy says, oh, young lady, hon, we got to get you home. This isn't a joke. And she just kind of looks at us. She had blue eyes, and then all of a sudden, she looks at him again, and he goes, hun, where do you live? We need to get you home. Her eyes went from blue to jet black, and she hissed, Eric. I remember this. I was a big boy at the time. I was pushing 380 pounds at the time. I'm much lighter now. But I remember when she hissed, her head tilted sideways, her body contorted. We heard the bones crack. And she went on four legs, and she hissed and ran out. Now, my fluffy butt at the time ran past the guy that was our tour guide, out the woods, across the street, gasping for air. This tour guide ran across the street, looked at me, had tears in his eyes. My friend Caitlin, tears in her eyes running across the street. Several of us. All I remember is that the fact that that's not human. And I know Culp's Hill was a bloody, bloody battle in Gettysburg. Now, I did do a little bit of research on it, said there was a girl that did die in the late 1800s and was buried near that hill. So I'm wondering if that was bad mojo, or if it, I don't know what to explain, Derek, but I know what I saw. I live back in Maryland now, but when I go to Gettysburg, I refuse to get near that school, and I refuse to go behind it. I don't even think they do tours back there anymore. I remember the tour well. They were great guides. I don't even know if the tour guide is still around. I remember seeing him once before, afterwards, about 3 years after that, and he said, hey, look, man, I know what I saw. You know what you saw. I can't explain it. I haven't seen him since. All I know is that Gettysburg has a lot of freaky stuff, but if anybody is normal and saw something like that, they would run too. If you can find any research on it, Derek, that would be phenomenal, dude. I love your podcast. I've been listening to it for months now. I appreciate you and your team and everything you do. Thank you so much, Derek. Have a good evening. Bye.
Thank you, Joe, for the phone call. A young girl in the darkness of Gettysburg. A hissing young girl. During a ghost tour, no less. I guess that's why you always take the tour, folks. You never know what you're going to see. Now, the crew and I all came to the same conclusion here. This sounds like the stereotypical vampire. Think about it. A little girl out alone, at night, in the darkness. Odd blue eyes. Hissing, crackling bones. If there's one thing I hate about Gettysburg, it's all the damn vampires. But come on, a real vampire in Gettysburg. Is such a thing even possible? Well, after some extensive research, I can boldly proclaim that no, I don't think so. I did not find a single non-fiction mention of vampires in or around the town or battlefields of Gettysburg. So if what Joe is telling us is true, it seems to be a one-off. But we can't end on such a note. And luckily, we don't have to. Because if we look elsewhere in the state, there are vampire legends. And none so prominent as the vampire of Erie Cemetery. Oh, that doesn't have a ring to it. And for more on this, we turn to one of the women that host a ghost tour there in the cemetery each and every Halloween, courtesy of WQLN Erie Public Television.
A count from Eastern Europe came to Pennsylvania looking for a safe place to live, and he bought the land here and built a mausoleum. Strange things started happening in the neighborhood. People disappeared, and they found bodies with no blood left in them. And somehow that didn't make the news. One of the caretakers came up one night and burned out the mausoleum, hammered a stake in his heart, chained the door shut, barred it, and added extra security on top of it. And that is one of the stories of the crypt. But it doesn't end there, because that would have happened in the 1890s. In the 1930s, the story emerged of a young boy who had heard that there was a vampire here and decided he was going to go find out about it. And he broke into the crypt one evening. First of all, he smelled that there was just a horrible stench in the crypt. And he saw a body lying on a slab in the middle. And he looked at the body. There was a ring on the hand. And he snatched the ring from the hand and put it on his own hand and went home. And the next day, he was going to go to school and brag to all his friends about how he had visited the vampire's crypt, and he had proof. But his mother called him for school and he didn't show up, and his friends came over to take him to school and he didn't come downstairs. They went up and discovered him dead in his bed with his finger ripped off and a look of terror permanently etched on his features.
Those are some interesting claims made regarding this mausoleum. But are they true? Well, I think we need more than tonight's allotted time to make that determination. But I can tell you part of the mystery isn't really a mystery at all. Because according to the book, Eerie Eerie, Tales of the Unexplained from Northwest Pennsylvania, a book sent in by a listener, I'll add, we do in fact know who was entombed inside. The very first body laid to rest there was done so 141 years ago, this week, November 14, 1884. George W. Goodrich, followed by six other members of the Goodrich family. It seems that that part is not so much a secret. But what about the rest of the tale? Perhaps someone listening has a first-hand encounter from the Erie Cemetery that could help support these claims. But until then, we appreciate your entry, Joe. I wish we'd uncovered a whole nest of vampires in Gettysburg, but sadly, it wasn't in the cards. But I think we had a lot of fun looking. And folks, that's going to wrap it up for the main portion of this program. Stick around to the very end of the episode to hear more stories and how you can join us for the back half of this episode. But first, Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Join us on social media, YouTube, Discord, and leave us a rate and review wherever you can. Don't forget you can catch the show on digital radio every Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern on the NX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. Tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.ag Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now watch our film if you're not too scared. BorregoTriangle.com, BorregoTriangle.com. And join us in the beyond. Visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click that Patreon tab. All right, gang. I'll meet most of you on the other side of this outro. But for those that I won't, keep it spooky and have yourself a good night.
Golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Yeah, thank you, man. Y'all have a good one.
Billy for more than 2 years.
Total war climate, I think, is what we're...
Now, tonight's secret story is on point. Weird as hell. Please welcome Sean out of the state of California.
Hey, what's going on? This is Sean D. out of Union City, California. This happened last night, February 6th, 2025, around 12:30 midnight. So I was sleeping, and in my bed, it's dark in my room. I wake up in the middle of the night, open my eyes, I'm looking up at the ceiling, just thinking about, my crazy dreams that I just had. And then I turn my head to the side, and I see there's like a brown blob about the size of a basketball, but more shaped like a football with the texture of like a meatball with a squiggly line down the middle. And it's just, I suppose, hovering there. And I'm just looking directly at it for about 2 full seconds, and then it just disappears. And then I'm just laying there thinking, like, why would anything want to observe me while I sleep? You know, I didn't feel scared. It didn't feel like a ghost or anything like that. My instinct tells me, like, it's more interdimensional or something. Or maybe even alien, who knows, but that's my story. All right, bye-bye.
Brown blobs in the bedroom. Thank you, Sean, for the entry. Now, you're all smart people. After all, you are tuning in to this program. So maybe you can tell me what it was that Sean saw that evening. Was it some sort of ghostly activity? Ectoplasm? Or, like he suggested, something interdimensional or extraterrestrial? If you have input, you know how to reach us. monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com or by calling 888-608-NIGHT. It's certainly wild stuff, Sean, whatever it was. And we thank you again for calling in with it. Now, folks, strap in, because it's time to go beyond the after show, where we explore more stories, more scares, and more terrifying tales. To join us, visit Patreon or Apple subscriptions and pledge $5 a month for all the bonus content. Or $1 a month gives you all the main show material completely ad-free. Visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the Patreon tab to tune in. It's in the beyond that we field stories like this one out of my state of California.
Hey, Derek. I'm calling from Central California. So this happened in a little town called Early Mart, California. And it happened about 10 years ago. So I had a childhood best friend who moved out, and she literally lived just in this field, a large area, you know, in between Delano and Early Mart. And I hadn't gone to visit her. So when I went to visit her, I had to drive up like a dirt road to get to her home. And we caught up, chit-chatted, and then nighttime fell. And so we were outside in her yard, and you could see the skies and the stars and everything. And I'm always curious about, like, if other people have had any kind of paranormal encounter since my encounter. So she started talking to me, and she kind of, like, got really serious. I asked her, you know, has she seen anything out here? She literally lived in the middle of nowhere. And she said that a few weeks ago, she had played the Ouija board with her friends, and that the night she played the Ouija board, this tall figure...
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.